Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to Sonae Capital first 9 months 2019 results conference call. During the introduction, hosted by Mr. Miguel Gil Mata, Sonae Capital Chief Executive Officer, and Mrs. Yvonne Teixeira, Sonae Capital Chief Financial Officer, all participants will be on a listen-only mode. After the introduction, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participants has difficulty in hearing the conference at any time, please press the star followed by the zero on your telephone for operator assistance. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Miguel Gil Mata. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, hello everyone, and thank you for attending the call. I have here with me Yvonne Teixeira, CFO of Sonae Capital, and Nuno Parreiro and Helena Almeida from the Investor Relations team. As we had told you before, we were organizing at least twice conference calls a year, but we thought that third quarter is very important for Sonae Capital, given the seasonality of most of our businesses, like energy, hospitality, and Troia as a whole. So we believe it was very important to give you some insight for this result, set of results. And also, we would like to update you on our active portfolio management and on our portfolio management strategy, if you will, particularly regarding Futura acquisition and the integration of Urban Fit that we recently concluded. So now myself and Yvonne will make a brief overview of the consolidated results and key highlights of each business unit without going into too much detail in terms of figures, but most importantly, we will be available and most happy to take all of your questions. I will then start with energy and with a brief note on the acquisition of Futura. Futura Group is a small Spanish company with a small team that specializes in trading and retailing of electricity, gas, and CO2 allowances. Especially strong in trading and in terms of retailing, we also with some skills, but skills that we tend to enhance. With this, we believe that Capot is now a more integrated company and have had the opportunity to acquire a new and broader set of skills and will be more capable of delivering integrated energy solutions, which is our ultimate goal. I should highlight that Capot is what we will now be referring to as Capot Power Business, and this new retail and trade segment is, of course, to a certain extent, it's fully complementary and to a certain extent autonomous from the pre-existing Capot businesses. And I believe that the integration of Futura will add value in multiple ways to Capot. To start with, it will allow in the near to medium term future, it will allow a better sale of electricity from the existing power plants on a post-feed-in tariff scenario. As you know, our existing plants will progressively in the future leave the feed-in tariff scenario, and at that time we will benefit from having an entity capable of trading and retailing that energy in favorable conditions. But also, most of the existing plants now operating under regulated regimes will sooner or later leave those regimes and will also be looking for players like Futura to trade or retail that electrical energy. Also, Futura will allow us to enter the Spanish market and access We believe interesting opportunities in that very important market, namely to taking advantage of our existing know-how and capabilities in the power segment. I will then be able, of course, to answer any further questions that you might have on Futura. A note now on Mangualde project, which, as you know, is a very important investment for Capwatt. We are in the final stage for the development of the biomass-fueled cogeneration plant, and the operation will start in 2020, and it will provide a very stable cash flow for a 25-year period, which is the period of the feed-in tariff. We still have some capex to complete, but the project is going very well, and we are very optimistic towards this project. In terms of overall figures, the Capwatt segment has increased significantly, but would still have increased even if we excluded the contribution from Futura. Now turning to fitness. Fitness continued its growth strategy throughout the quarter, and we dedicated some of our energy last month to integrating and rebranding 4 urban fit clubs that we acquired in June. And we have now concluded that process and are particularly pleased with the success of turning those new clubs into pump units. We are now operating 35 clubs, 20 Solinka, 14 pumps, and one club, and we are still planning to open 2 extra units until the end of 2019, 1 Solinka and 1 pump unit. Performance has been reliable and strong, cost structure under control, monthly fees stable and actually slightly increasing. And so we continue to win market share on all 3 segments where we are operating. We have surpassed 100,000 members, 103,000 members actually, which is more than 20% above last year, and all key metrics have evolved positively. I would probably highlight the EBIT margin, which is now, for the first 9 months of 2019, almost double digit. It's actually 9.8%, so we are reaching double digit in terms of EBIT margin, which we believe to be very, very positive. In hospitality, we have been able to increase key metrics like occupancy and price, and 9 months, especially third quarter, boosted a very good set of results. RevPAR has increased, and especially in the third quarter. So overall, very happy with this performance. I recall that we are opening a new unit in Lisbon, in Santa Polonia Railway Train Station, in December of 2021. This will be a very key project for us. And we continue to target new opportunities for new units in prime locations, both in Porto and Lisbon, iconic buildings in either of these cities, always on a capital-light approach. And I should say that we are quite optimistic on at least one more unit somewhere in the near future. So turnover has increased, EBITDA has increased significantly, and this is the best year ever for our hospitality business. Now turning to industrial engineering, in Adira, results are still very much below our expectations, but they mostly reflect the ongoing restructuring process that we are carrying out. So it has been harder than we predicted, but we are still very confident to unlock very important value that's still hidden on this company. We have now in full place our partnership with Mitsubishi for the North American market, where we have an exclusive relation with them to market our machines, and we have already 15 machines already under production that will be delivered still in 2019, and expect to have a very interesting cruising speed with Mitsubishi. Last period has already shown an increase in backlog and orders, so we should be looking at best top line and bottom line performance in the near future. Refrigeration and HVAC. The third quarter of 2019 already shown some recovery, although turnover is significantly below last year. That is most to do with our fine-tuning of strategy, of commercial strategy. And as you can see, in spite of that, EBITDA is above last year. And that is proof that the fine-tune that we have been doing to the company is resulting. We have now lower sales amounts, but with higher margins, and have also increased profitability in our after-sales unit. And we are quite bullish for last month of the year. Of course, it is true that this is within our portfolio, probably the business that is at the most mature stage of our investment cycle, and we will remain watchful for sector evolution, aiming to identify any solutions that could foster new opportunities for value creation. In Troy operations, I would say that in this case, no news means good news. All of the business units performing well when compared to last year, especially Atlantic Ferries, which is the main driver of performance in under this segment, but also smaller operations like Marina, Supermarket, or the Gulf operation, all improving performance. And turnover stood at 10.5 million euros, and the EBITDA reached 2.3 million euros, significant growth when compared to last year. So overall, a sustainable line of business that releases cash flow. I will now hand over the conference to Yvonne. Yvonne, please.
Thank you, Miguel. Hello, everyone. Once again, thanks for attending our conference call targeting the results of the first three quarters of the year. I will focus on the real estate monetization plan that currently Sonae Capital has been delivering. In Troia, we have sold so far 26 residential units and have an additional 9 promissory sales and purchase agreements already signed this year, totaling 35 units marked up to date. We are managing to obtain a better mix on the units that are being sold, so we are delivering a total amount of 13 million euros of sales deeds closed this year, and we still have additional 4.6 million of promissory sales, as I mentioned. So out of the 546 units that we have developed, we now have 66 units available to be placed in the market as soon as possible. Regarding other real estate assets currently being placed in the market, sales deeds are now at 5.4 million euros, and the global amount of promissory sales and proceeds agreements totals 36 million euros, including the already disclosed sale of Unoptrias in Troia, Metropolis building for 6.3 million euros, and one allotment in Santarém, and Maya Country Club, which is a plot in the north of the country. Just a final note regarding our placement of the WTC fund. Selling the fund remains a major project regarding assets, real estate assets disposals this year. We are aware that in fact this is a quite interesting asset, but at the same time it's quite a complex asset to place into the market due to its mixed use characteristic. We are focused more on the value that we extract from the disposal than from the speed of the transaction. We still maintain a target to deliver to the market some important news this year, but I would like to stress out that if we were available to make a fire sale on this asset, we have already closed the deal and probably at this moment we were discussing the value that we obtained in such transaction. We are aware that market is quite hot at this moment. We are quite conservative regarding the acceptance of a binding proposal regarding the value that we can extract from this asset. We are aware that it's a big asset, a complex asset, but we are aware of the value that the asset has, so we are targeting the sale this year, but we are not targeting a fire sale this year. So I would say that on the short term, certainly we have news on the disposal of this asset, but hopefully until the end of this year, at least, is our main goal to deliver this sale this year, of course. We now jumping to numbers. Consolidated overview, turnover of our business units increased 18% above last year, and EBITDA reached roughly 30 million euros, delivering a growth of 60%. The EBIT increased 21% to 70.7 million euros, and importantly, net profit for the accumulated 9 months of the year reached positive 3.7 million euros. Quite a huge improvement. I would like to stress out that we are focusing mainly on the profitability of the growth and the sustainability of the growth of our business units, and we really think that the figures that we are delivering are showing that our strategy is delivering the growth path that we propose to do. At the same time, capital structure. We have been investing heavily. In the first 9 months, we have invested roughly 40 million euros, mainly in our energy business and the fitness industry growth plan that we have. And at the same time, we have paid 80 million euros in dividends. And our net debt increased 22 million euros. So I want to stress the important free cash flow that the current operations are delivering. And that cash flow is allowing us to make huge and important investments within the group, and at the same time deliver some dividends to our shareholders. Our net debt currently stands at 143 million euros, so a 24 million euro increase on the year, in spite of, as I said, the 40 million euro of investment and 18 million euros of dividend distribution. Overall, we are very pleased with this set of results. As I was saying, we do consider this a confirmation of the growth plan and the focus on sustainable profitability that we are putting into the development of the business units that currently are within Sonae Capital portfolio. And we do think that we are on track to meet our ambitions for growth and value creation. So thank you very much. Now myself and Miguel are available to answer the questions that you might have, provided that we are not talking about confidential information, and we can answer depending on what you ask. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. You can cancel your request at any time by pressing the hash key. Once again, please press star one if you wish to ask a question. And your first question comes from the line of João Pinto of JB Capital Markets. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions. So the first one, could you give us an update on your expectations regarding disposals of real estate assets for the fourth quarter and 2020 as well? You've already touched on the WTC fund process. What about other assets? Also, just a follow-up on the WTC fund. You said you expect to give us news this year, but if the value does not match your expectations, it might be delayed for 2020, right? Also, you're planning to sell the fund always as a whole, right? My second question is regarding Futura. We understand it will open new alternatives to sell non-regulated electricity in the future. However, regarding the trading area itself, will you explore this area? Just trying to understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this area is quite speculative, right? Will you focus on trading, or will you use Futura only for retailing purposes? Also, on Adira, these 15 machines that you intend to sell until year-end, how much could it represent in terms of revenues? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ron. Maybe I'll start with your last question. I believe you were referring specifically to the Mitsubishi agreement. We will be having accumulated sales to Mitsubishi up to the last, to the end of the year. We will be that should represent roughly 800,000 euros, maybe at the best 1 million euros, but probably 800,000. What is important in this agreement is the way that our partner is marketing our machines and our solutions. And that represents a change, a fundamental change in the way that we approach the market, trying to deliver high value and customized solutions to our customers, final customers that is. And the partnership with a very well-organized, high-profile, high-reputation entity as Mitsubishi North America is the right way for us, we believe. So this is a very significant evolution for Adira, and we will be looking at similar partnerships in different markets, key markets in the future.
If I may add some information regarding also the Mitsubishi contract, I think it is quite important the fact that Mitsubishi is marketing our machines with a Adira brand. So usually they put their brand in all they sell, and for us it's a validation of the value that we consider that our product has. So we really think that this not only delivers to Adira a steady and quite important partner to address markets that have a huge potential. We are talking about United States, Mexico, and Canada. And at the same time, it is a proof of one item of our investment case, is that Adira product is a good product, high quality product, and therefore the potential of the development is quite important.
So now turning to your question about Futura, I should stress out that there is absolutely no speculative operation within Futura. All the trading that we carry out has always closed asymmetric positions with each counterpart, so there is absolutely no speculation whatsoever in this type of operations. So we are always making one-to-one relations where we source the commodity and deliver it to the final client. And at the same time, there is very high degrees of safety, let's say, in terms of credit risk. So again, there is no speculation involved in that trading. It is closer to arbitrage than it is to speculation. And we will, of course, take advantage of the intense know-how that the company has and a very interesting network of contacts, and both in sourcing and in clients, in final clients, while also taking advantage of that as a distribution channel, if you will, for the electricity that we will in the future, and that is not now, it will be in the future, that we will be placing through those channels. In terms of overall real estate asset disposals, I think UNOP 3 is a very important disposal that, as you know, is still pending some administrative issues that have been evolving favorably, and we expect to deliver some news on that, I would say, on the first 3 months of 2020. Metropolis building is well on track to be completed soon, and the same goes for the Santarém allotment that Yvonne referred to, which is a smaller operation, 1.5 million euro operation. As for Maia Country Club, that is a signed purchase agreement that we will that is also still pending some administrative issues, but we should be looking at that on the first semester of next year. Also, we are of course working actively on UNOP 4, the other major plot in Troia, and to a certain extent, although less intense, on UNOP 1, which is also a very important part of the Troia Peninsula, and as you know, is should be developed with residential units, and we believe the timing is now perfect to start that development, as there is virtually nothing left to sell in the Troia Peninsula nowadays. In terms of World Trade Center, I think it was your last question. Yes, we still feel that we could have news this year and that we will be criteria as for the price that we will be selling the asset. That does not mean that we will be strict in looking at the 71 million euros of the independent appraisal that we have. It means that we will need to feel that we are selling at a fair price. And our strong preference is to sell the asset as a whole, yes.
Okay. But anyway, we're not addressing the market only with that option of structure. Okay, so if we sell the asset as a whole, it has some tax advantages that could be included in the negotiation of the price of the transaction. So we would prefer to do that. It's quite simpler to do that way, but it's not mandatory to be done as a whole. At least we'd like to place it all at the same time, but we could be talking about a structure that sells different pieces to different bidders. So at the end of the day, we are marketing the whole independently of the structure of the transaction.
Very clear. Thank you.
Thank you. And your next question comes from the line of Bruno Bessa, CaixaBank BPI. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. So the first one related with Adira. You've mentioned that results are below your initial expectations because the restructuring has been taking or has been harder than initially expected. My question is if you could elaborate a little bit more on this, what has been more difficult than you were anticipating, and how could you overcome this in the near future in order to start seeing more positive figures at this in this division? This will be my first question. Second question related with the refrigeration business. You mentioned that you remain active on seeing the best opportunities to crystallize value in this operation. If you could give us an update on this. Namely regarding the potential sale and timing for it, it would also be appreciated. Third question on the energy business, if you could, and in this division, two questions. The first one, if you could also update us on your plans to for inorganic growth in this division. And the second one, if you could provide us some visibility on your CapEx plans, particularly CapEx related with improvements in the operation in order to reduce the carbon footprint ahead of the change in the legislation that should reduce significantly the number of CO2 allowances from 2021 onwards. My last question, a more general one, if you could give us an update on how you see tourism dynamics both in Oporto and in Lisbon, if you see any kind of acceleration or deceleration and how this could impact your growth plans in the hospitality business. This will be my last question. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Bruno. Starting with Adira, I think the harder part of the transformation is on the commercial side. Adira is a manufacturer of equipment goods, and as such, the way that you can change the image and with your clients, it's slow and hard. It takes a long time. And the sale cycle is very long. You start dialoguing with a client, and hopefully you will place an order 1 year later most of the times. So this is slow to turn the situation around. but it is the part of the company where we have invested our biggest efforts. We have completely overhauled the commercial team, and we are now very happy with the way that we are targeting that part of the activity. And the success with Mitsubishi is a very good indication of what's lying ahead. I can let you know that we have been negotiating intensively with Mitsubishi since the time that we bought the company. And it is the way it is in this type of agreement. It's a long-term agreement where both parts commit a lot, and it's very hard to turn back. So for such an agreement to take place, a lot of time investment and also money, but especially time investment, is already involved. On the other side, it will now be, hopefully, a very long-term relation and also very reliable and resilient. It will not be easy to undo the agreement that we have struck. And we believe that the image of Adera is now very different from what it was when we bought the company. Having said that, of course, all other areas are very important. We believe that there is cost optimization both on the fixed cost and on the variable cost that we are targeting. We are enhancing reliability and quality of our machines, which was overall good, but always margin to improve. And also in after-sales service, we are below the benchmark of percentage of our sales that came from service, and we are also trying to increase that as it is a high-margin business. In terms of rates, yes, you are right that we believe that it is hard for us to go much further with the improvement of the company, and we keep an active position in terms of a potential sale of the company. As for anticipation of if that is going to happen or when, it's very hard for us to do. Turning now to your question about energy and inorganic growth, I believe that was your issue. Portugal is a very, I would say, tight market, small and tight market, where opportunities, there are still some opportunities, of course, but there are not a lot of them, and especially not big ones. But as you know, we have been very active in Mexico and see very good outlook for potential power plants in that region. Also Spain might, and now with the help of Futura, also Spain might bring some opportunities as well. We do not envisage special CapEx expenditures, capital expenditures, for retrofitting our existing power plants. It's very hard to significantly and fundamentally change the carbon footprint of each one of them. What we see is, going forward, the tendency to add new plants with lower footprints, carbon footprints, that is, and that is the way that we believe we could enhance that. For instance, Mangualde is carbon neutral. So Mangualde does not account for, as a neutral carbon footprint, as it is using a renewable fuel. So that is more the way than to retrofit existing power plants. In terms of the impact of the changes in regulation that could induce an increase in the CO2 allowances prices, Fortunately, we have a limited impact. That is a risk, that's for sure. But we have a limited impact in our operations. Why? Because most of our operations are exempt from CO2 allowances trading scheme because of their small size, decentralized characteristic. So we only have two plants that are under that region, and so the impact, while important, is limited. We have been actively managing that commodity, and actually have secured some options, trading options, to have visibility of that cost into the future. But of course, that remains a challenge that has to be tackled, even though, I repeat, with a limited impact. Finally, in terms of tourism dynamics in Porto and Lisbon, we have been growing, both of these destinies have been growing extraordinarily. And if by any chance the rate of growth diminishes a little bit, and I mean the rate of growth, not the growth itself, that is already most of the times sufficient to ring some bells, but we are still growing. And if you look at other cities in Europe that have been going ahead of us, like for instance Barcelona or even Madrid, you could see that there is still a very long way to go. I would say roughly that Lisbon is 10 years below Barcelona or Rome, and Porto is roughly 10 years below Lisbon in terms of evolution of all key metrics, also price. So we are quite optimistic to that, in terms of that. Of course, what probably is our main worry is not on the demand side, probably on the offer side. And we are aware, and very very aware, that there are a lot of new competition coming up every day. Demand is there, and the offer side is what's growing nowadays, and probably that's the main point of attention. But still, and that is why we are always very focused on iconic buildings, on very privileged locations, because that will be the way, we believe, to remain competitive and attractive in face of growing competition.
But at the same time, this limits a little bit our ability to grow, because the real estate market is hot, and Sonae Capital does not intend. We are aware that we are never going to be an international hospitality player, so we are focusing our growth in Oporto and Lisbon exclusively. So we are aware that the prices that Sonae Capital considers to pay for the real estate needed to grow in these two cities diminish the probability of growing a lot in these two in Oporto and in Lisbon. So we really think that we are managing to obtain an interesting portfolio, a sustainable one, because of the our metrics that allow us to enter, but at the same time we are aware that the ability to grow is limited, of course.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And your next question comes from the line of Nuno Castro of KXRBI. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. I just have a quick one on the energy segment related to the new business of retail and trade. I just wanted to understand a little better regarding the EBITDA of this new business, which was very low and corresponded to an EBITDA margin lower than 1%. So if you could please explain the reasons for this. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Yeah, the retail and trade business, the metrics are economic, key economic metrics are very different than on the power business. First of all, the volume, the sales volume, is not a very good indication because it depends on the underlying commodity, while the margins involved tend to be on the absolute side and not on the relative side. So, for instance, if we are trading CO2 allowances, which have gone up tremendously over the course of the last couple of years, we would be multiplying sales volume, but keeping both margins and risk, and that is very important, and risk on the same levels. So we are actually providing a service, and we are charging as such. The fact that there is an underlying commodity that we are actually buying and selling is to a certain extent not a very good indicator of the sustainability or profitability of the business. I should highlight that we are operating that company with 8 people, and that lets you, you might have an idea of the less relevance of sales volume for the analysis of that operation. Also, the EBITDA is roughly 1 month EBITDA, actually 2 months, but August is a due to seasonality is a very weak weak period. So it's still early stages to understand to with that only that figure the profitability of the operation. So I don't know if I could answer your question, but.
Yeah, it was very clear. Thank you.
Thank you. And once again, it's star one if you wish to ask a question. There are no further questions at this time. I would like to hand the conference back to Miguel Hirmata for closing remarks. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. Well, I would like to thank you all for attending. And we will be, of course, pursuing this our intent to keep you updated in further conference calls in the near future. So we will see you again in February 2020 for the results of full year 2019. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That does conclude your conference for today. Thank you for participating, and you may now disconnect.